We're discussing the volume of air traffic in and out of Wisconsin's largest airport. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Milwaukee Mitchell International Airport has added thousands of arrivals and departures this month. The budget airline Spirit is also breaking into the market, starting daily nonstop service to Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and Orlando. Have you traveled out of this airport in the pandemic? Was it for business or leisure? What do you think about flying out of Milwaukee? 800-642-1234. Joe Tashler is a reporter and editor for the business desk of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he covers breaking news, weather, aviation, and grocery retail. Joe, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is a treat.
Well, so we know air travel plummeted last year, especially during lockdowns. But what's the story for flying in recent months and this summer?
What's going on is airlines are moving flights around. One of the big axioms in the airline industry is airplanes are very movable. So what they're doing is they're moving aircraft and flights into markets where they think they can succeed. The trend is almost exclusively, at least right now, for leisure travel. So Mitchell International, since the beginning of this year, has 25,000 new airline seats available for travelers, and almost all of them are leisure. Everyone's still waiting for business travel to come back. But right now, lots of new seats.
Can you explain how the airlines measure seats? When you say, you know, Milwaukee has added more than 25,000 seats, what does that mean?
One of the way airlines measure their revenue and their profitability is how many people they can put in a seat on an aircraft and have that seat full as often as possible. So one of the things they use to measure is how many new seats are added into a market. And most travelers are going to look at the number of flights, that sort of thing. The way the airline industry, it kind of breaks it down on a really micro level is how many seats that they have available.
Yeah, and those seats are getting skinnier as time goes by.
Yeah, I think on Spirit, you can actually pay for a bigger seat.
Okay.
You can pay for everything on Spirit. So
what needs to happen, Joe, to keep these seats in Milwaukee?
Well, the biggest thing from what my reporting has determined is people need to use the service. Airlines, if they notice a particular route this is only flying, say, 50% full on the aircraft, they're going to take that aircraft and move it somewhere where they think that they can get more capacity or a higher, what they call load volume, more, which means more people on it. So the biggest thing is those flights have to be used in order to stay in the marketplace.
Yeah, so it's not like they're really committed to a certain market. It sounds like they can really move things around pretty quickly.
Yeah, especially in medium-sized markets like Milwaukee, where there's open gates. Now, if somebody was going to pick up and go to, say, LaGuardia or JFK, that's not as easy because all their gates are full. Those airports are at capacity. But in medium-sized cities like Milwaukee, there are gates available and they can put planes in here.
And I would imagine that it would be so much costlier to get a gate at LaGuardia or O'Hare versus one of these smaller medium city markets.
Sure, absolutely.
We're talking with Joe Tashler, who's a reporter and editor for the business desk of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's been covering the changes at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport as travel picks up in these times. Do you travel through Milwaukee? What are you seeing? Have you been a frequent flyer in the pandemic? What's changed for you? Join in at 800-642-1234. Joe, last week Spirit started flying out of Milwaukee. What effect can a new airline have on regional travel?
Well, one of the biggest things that we see is it drives down the price of an airline ticket. Anytime you introduce competition into the marketplace, especially in a deregulated, post-deregulation, and now I'm aging myself, anytime you introduce competition into the marketplace in the airline business, it drives fares down. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll see that, especially on some of these really ultra competitive routes.
Yeah, like I priced out a random nonstop trip to Las Vegas in August on a random day, like on a Thursday. And you're looking at $42.59 one way, standard fare, $85 round trip. I'm wondering, is a price like that even sustainable?
If that was that on Spirit?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, that is sustainable because that fare you're going to pay for, if you check a bag, you're going to pay for a checked bag. If you have a carry-on bag, Spirit charges for carry-on bags. If you want a water or a drink on the airline, on the plane, you're going to pay for that. If you want a bigger seat, maybe a little more legroom, you will pay for that. So their bargain basement airfare does come with the fees.
It is at the basement, right?
Right. So they're going to upsell you, and their model works. I mean, they make money. So I would say that, yes, that is sustainable. Now, if you can get to Las Vegas with, you know, a toothbrush and a pair of socks, then you could probably do it for $85. So
another thing I noticed on Spirit, they're starting service to Manchester, New Hampshire, starting October 7th. And, you know, I'm wondering, I know fall leaves and all, but keeping service up to these smaller cities, that will be something to watch, I would imagine.
It absolutely is something to watch. I had a industry consultant tell me a while back that it was the spaghetti theory, where they're throwing spaghetti up against the wall to see what sticks. You know, I don't know enough about their route planning and the demand that they see. They have loads and loads of data. Every time you go to an airline's website and put in the destinations that you want to travel to, they record that. They know how many people are looking to go where and how many online hits they get to various cities. So, you know, whether they can sustain that to, as you say, some of the smaller or medium-sized cities remains a question, I think.
We're talking with Joe Tashler, reporter and editor for the business desk of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's been covering air travel through Milwaukee and what this uptick means for Wisconsin's largest airport. Have you bypassed Milwaukee's airport in the past and instead opted for Chicago's O'Hare? What was the declining factor for you? Are you a frequent flyer in the pandemic? What has it meant? What has it been like for you? Join in, air travel, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Joe Tashler here in the Ideas Network. Travelers are back at Milwaukee Mitchell International Airport. Air traffic is picking up. Is it here to stay? It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. After posting record low air traffic numbers last year, the airport is seeing a resurgence in travel, more destinations, more carriers. But is the demand sustainable? Have you traveled in and out of Mitchell? What are you seeing? Do you work in the airline industry or at an airport? Do you see more business or leisure travelers? Join in 800-642-1234. Joe Tashler is a reporter and editor for the business desk of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's been covering the changes to aviation and he stays with us. So, Joe, I do want to address O'Hare. How does Mitchell International Airport in Milwaukee compete with Chicago's O'Hare?
It does its best to compete with it. It's somewhat unique in that you have this behemoth airport 90 miles south that you can go to and you know, catch nonstop flights almost around the world.
Around the world, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, there's that term I think you've used before, passenger leakage. What does it... Yeah. Oh, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Passenger leakage refers to the passengers leaving the market in Milwaukee and leaking, I guess. I don't know who came up with that term, but going to O'Hare to utilize the air service there, it may be because there is more frequency, especially business travelers. They want to get there. They want to be there now. They want to be able to buy a ticket on the spot and get there. There's also the availability of nonstop flights. A lot of people don't like to make that one stop, where they're changing planes in a hub airport, or maybe not even changing planes. They don't want to make the stop. So, you know, customers or airline passengers look at their options.
And
O'Hare is one of them.
I've always, in all the cities I've lived in, I always see those billboards that say, you know, if you traveled out of this X airport, you'd be home by now, and trying to address that passenger leakage.
You know, if you're willing to make the 90-mile drive and put up with the, you know, especially the parking and some of the fees down at O'Hare, then, gosh, more power to you. Personally, I'd much rather fly out of Milwaukee.
We heard from Dennis calling in from Kenosha. Called, couldn't stay with us. Dennis is a frequent flyer out of Chicago and Milwaukee. And Dennis said, look, a lot of times it is less expensive to fly out of one or the other. And so Dennis regularly flips which one Dennis ends up going to. Often looks for fares at nearby airports. And as an example, Dennis says, like Manchester, New Hampshire, not far from Boston. So, Dennis makes a point there to check around.
Well, no question. I've spent years trying to figure out airline pricing structures, and I think it's impossible. you can just take New York. You can look at fares to, say, Newark or LaGuardia or JFK, and they're all over the place. No question. And again, no question is shopping around. If price is one of your main concerns, and, you know, let's not kid ourselves, price is a big concern for just about everybody. If that's your main concern, then absolutely, he's right. You know, look around, shop around, see what's there.
We're talking with Joe Tashler, who covers aviation for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're looking at air travel trends at Wisconsin's largest airport with your insights as well. Have you bypassed Milwaukee's airport for O'Hare? What was the decision there? Do you work at a regional airport? What have you seen in the past year in terms of air travel and traffic? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So Southwest carries more than half of Milwaukee's airport passengers. I was a bit surprised. I don't know why. Is it common for one airline to dominate the airport?
You know, yes, in terms of medium-sized cities like Milwaukee, Kansas City. So you look across Southwest's route network, and they dominate airports in Milwaukee, Kansas City, St. Louis, Baltimore, I believe BWI, they're number one in passengers. So, and that's part of their strategy. They go into markets that were previously underserved and go in and very quickly become the dominant carrier in that marketplace.
How has Southwest been doing in the pandemic?
You know, out of all the major airlines, and this surprises me too, but Southwest carries more domestic passengers, so more passengers in the United States than any other airline. They were more financially positioned much better than some of the other legacy airlines in terms of debt and the amount of money that they burn through each day. Their latest securities filing with the SEC showed that they were almost back to pre-pandemic levels in terms of the number of passengers. So they are coming out of this fairly quickly. And one thing that they've done during the pandemic, while air travel just literally almost evaporated, especially in March and April of 2020, as they started expanding and adding routes in places where their route planners thought that the traffic was going to come back first
and
fastest. So you've seen them add a number of flights from Milwaukee as well as a number of airports around the U.S.
Do you think the federal COVID relief aid that went to these carriers, has that had anything to do with their ability to expand routes, to expand service?
You know, I don't think there's any question that it has impacted that and allowed them to expand service. When you look at the amount of money, this is a capital intensive industry. You are talking that they burn through millions of dollars every day just to keep planes flying, you know, serviced, maintained. And there's no question that the lifeline in terms of that money that came from the federal COVID assistance played a role in helping them not only stay afloat, but also expand routes.
Yeah, take more risks. Let's bring in a call now. Bob is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Bob. Where are you flying?
We just got back last night from San Diego, 2-week trip, Milwaukee via Las Vegas to San Diego. So that's a total of 4 flights.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was full. Every flight was full.
Wow.
Things are coming back.
And may I ask what airline you flew on?
Southwest.
You flew Southwest, and it was all full. What was it like at San Diego in terms of congestion at the airport versus Milwaukee?
Yesterday morning in San Diego, it took us a half an hour to check the bags. We stood outside, took a half an hour to get to finish to checking the bags.
Mm-hmm.
And another 10 or 20 minutes to go through security. So if we hadn't had bags, we could have gone right to security, you know. So
yeah.
San Diego was very, very busy. Las Vegas was, well, I hate to say it, but it was a zoo.
Yeah.
Las Vegas was incredible. That was the, you know, if you're going to San Diego from Milwaukee, you either have to go through Las Vegas, Denver, or Phoenix.
Well, Bob, yeah, thank you for those observations. You know, as we wrap up here, Joe, Mitchell is owned and operated by Milwaukee County. Does the airport's success or failure impact the county's operations and its budget?
No, the airport, is completely self-supported. So it's supported by user fees, things such as gate fees. There is no property tax revenue, and no county general fund money comes from the county to operate the airport. It is a self-operating entity, if you will.
We only have a couple seconds left here, but what are you watching for out of aviation in Milwaukee?
The return of business travel. That is the biggest issue right now. Everybody's waiting to see what it's going to look like when it finally returns.
Joe, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Like I said, this is a treat.
Joe Tashler, a reporter and editor for the business desk of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Ahead this hour, a psychologist discusses coping strategies in the pandemic. We look at how other disasters around the world can inform quality of life in these times. We hear from the head of the Institute for Disaster Mental Health. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.